Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored as always by 50 West Brewing Company. Owner Bobby Slattery, he's better known to you all as Optimistic Bobby for his rosy Bengals takes, but he truly has something special going on down on Route 50 in Newtown. They combine delicious beers, like my personal favorite, the best IPA anywhere, coast to coast, as well as always rotating seasonal selections. They combine that with an active lifestyle, running groups, sand volleyball leagues, cycling, canoeing, all that based out of the Pro Works. Go on down there, eat some fantastic food, drink some great local craft beer in what I honestly think is the best brewery environment our city has going. Anyway, if you get a chance, head on down to 50 West Brewing Company. Always a great time where every beer is a journey. Join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Bengals beat writers, Paul Danner Jr. and Fletcher Page, take you inside Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome in to the latest edition of the BBP. That's right, it is the Bengals Beat Podcast, presented always by our good friends at 50 West Brewing Company. Man, they have so many delicious beers. They just had the Brewers Brunch on Sunday. You didn't make it down there for that. I'm sorry couldn't make it down there. I was super busy. I hate missing those because the food's delicious, as always, down there. Special beer pairings. Couldn't make it. But they still have tons of delicious beers, so make sure you get down there and check them out. As always, Paul Danner Jr. here with you. My man Fletcher Page is on the road, which means I'm excited about everything that's happening today. That means my man Kareem Elgazar is back in the house.
I'm back, baby.
You're back. I always love it. And this is kind of we're getting ourselves set for the real off-season run here and then in the next season, because I don't know if you're noticing this, if you're listening, we sound kind of good.
That's right.
We sound kind of good because we're officially using the booth. We're officially in our high-tech podcast facility.
How about Phil, though?
Phil Didier, man, I'm telling you, the guy has killed it over at That's So Cincinnati, and I had so much love for the way it sounded over there. I said, man, we got to do that with the BBP. The BBP is lagging now because the TSC sounds too good.
I mean, Phil Didion's part of our visual staff,
yeah.
And he's really set up this podcast room too. He did the hardware, did the wiring, and he's made it really easy for me to help produce these Bengals Beat podcasts, so... Big shout out to Phil because he's sitting in here right now making sure I don't mess things up.
Exactly. Yeah. So. Looking over the shoulder, wondering, important. judging. So with Fletcher out, you know, he might be missing some time. You never know. Over the summer, I'm on vacation. Fletcher's on vacation. Kareem's on vacation. Or we're all doing things. But Kareem, so good in season. And so he needs to be in the mix. I was like, Kareem's got to be in the mix. So to be here, and if we're all here, it's great. You produce, you're in on the conversation, and we can do all that. But if it's just me and you, we can hop on board or whatever our combo is. And you, the listener, you get to hear us. In beautiful sound. No. Hopefully not too many highs.
All right.
Hopefully not too many lows. I know.
Watching the soundboard.
I know. I typically have problems with the volume of my voice going low and then going high.
You're peaking right now, man.
I know I'm peaking. So hopefully this will be good. Hopefully this will make it better for everybody as we go forward. A lot to talk about. You're kind of living in many worlds right now, Kareem. You've got the college hoops thing going on. You just came back. You had the beautiful spring training weather. Great job on all your stuff out in Arizona,
that.
By the way.
Thanks, man.
Fletcher will be out there in a couple of weeks. He's going to be our representative at the owners' meetings, which are out in Phoenix again this year. So that's in 2 weeks.
I like being in different buckets.
Yeah.
I enjoy my job.
You have many buckets.
Yeah.
You have many buckets. And you're dripping in all of them just right.
Thanks, buddy.
That's what Dre Kirkpatrick, he always talking about drip.
Dre reference.
Got to have that drip. But anyway, a lot to get to. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to kind of dive into, it's free agency week, man. It's officially here. You can officially tamper legally.
The terminology.
Do you want to tamper?
Tamper legally?
You want to legally tamper?
Yes.
Tamper inherently illegal, yet we're going to claim it's now the legal period starts. You know, it's funny. I said, well, we got to get this podcast up Monday morning because
shelf life for a podcast this time of year is like 30 seconds because everything changes so fast. Before we're done here, they may have signed two guys, or they may have deals, or they cut somebody. That's what happens.
Right.
Literally this day last year, the Bengals traded for Cordy Glenn the Monday of free agency starting. So this is the time of year where it goes down, stuff flies fast. I would think the Bengals would be looking into trades again this year because they've got a new coach. They're trying to reform roster. You start looking at what the free agent market starts becoming, and you don't like what you see.
Right.
And things are getting a little too expensive, and you start looking at other options. So it happens fast is the point. So I want to kind of run through a little bit of the Bengals players, who's available, percentage chance I think that they're back. We'll get a little bit into some of the linebacker market as it's starting to form monetarily.
Ah, yes, linebackers.
Well, we spent a lot of time on linebackers last week. We're going to continue to do it this week because they're kind of the focus of the free agent market, with the linebacker draft not being super strong. Mm. But prices are starting to form now, and you can get a better feel of where the Bengals would or wouldn't be willing to go to. I've got questions from our Twitter followers.
All right.
Some good stuff to jump into, so we will do that there. And Kareem, I know you're going to have thoughts.
I have plenty of thoughts, man. Now, I like to think they're educated thoughts.
No doubt.
But, you know, sometimes I just want to make sure that I get them out there and get some conversation going with the fans and with you. So, you know, I'm interested to throw in some thoughts at you.
We know that you're going to be pounding on the table to bring back Eifert.
Yeah, bring him back.
You know why?
Why is that?
Makes good pictures.
The dude is amazing, man.
for a guy like Kareem or our other man, Sam Green, our Bengals visuals staff, bro, I'm telling you, they love them some Tyler Eifert because he gets his body all in weird ways.
High leg kick.
He's always going up. Right. He's making ridiculous catches, and then you turn out these photos like wham.
That's right.
That's how that looks.
That's right.
All right, let's jump in. So the big question that a lot of people are talking that we'll talk about is, how much are the Bengals going to spend, right? And this happens every single year. I get yelled at all the time. I'm always getting yelled at. Why are they're too cheap. They're too cheap. They're too cheap to go and spend in free agency because they don't care about winning. And
deep sigh.
And look, I have no problem yelling about things that they are not doing correctly or that they should be more aggressive in certain areas. We can do that. This team that has gone almost three decades now without a playoff win and three straight losing seasons, we have lots of areas that we can criticize, and we will and have. One of those is not actual spending, okay? Because when you look at the end of the day, look, the actual period put out by the NFLPA where they were like, new CBA in 2011, we got to make sure all the teams are spending. It was from 13 to 16, and they measured everyone's spending with a floor that was necessary. This is cash, actual cash money. Bengals finished in the top 10. You look at last year, Bengals eighth in total spending. They always are at or above the cap. They would have carried over nothing last year if it weren't for Vontez and Tyler Eifert leaving a bunch of incentive money on the table because they gave all that money to Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap in August. So
I think one of the things I have a thought.
I think
one of the things is, you know, yes, the Bengals like, as we've all talked about, they like to groom and maintain their homegrown players.
No doubt.
So they give them money. So it might not seem that the Bengals spend money. It might seem that they're cheap because they don't go out and get the high-priced free agent. It doesn't make a lot of news and noise. Oh, we've re-signed Geno again. We've re-signed AJ. It's a player that we've had on the roster for so long, so it might not seem like they're acquiring a lot of players, and they have to a certain degree. But that's just kind of the initial thought, you know, just the whole perception is reality, and that, yes, the data bores out that, you know, the Bengals are spending money. But they spend it on players that they've drafted and they've kind of grown into their franchise.
Draft, develop, and retain.
Right.
And I think I'm fine with that philosophy. Mm-hmm. And I understand fans' frustration. This time of year is fun, man.
Right.
You're going shopping. You got daddy's card.
Right.
And you're like, let's go. Let's go get us some players, right? And the Bengals Bengals fans never really get to enjoy that because they're not out there on day one. And, teams that win in March – They just don't often win in January. Mm. And people say, yeah, well, Bengals ain't winning in January, so maybe they need to try something else. That, I'm not saying that, but I don't know necessarily the reason they're not winning in January is because they're not spending in March. You look at just a quick look, people to I'm not defending their philosophy. I actually think that every year should probably look more like last year. Cordy Glenn, they took on a $10 million contract. He's their third largest cap hit. Preston Brown, they took on $5 million. You can even throw in a guy like Bobby Hart, who they paid a little bit to, where it's not like the money isn't being spent a little bit. And then they did major extensions with their guys. That's to me, that's spending a ton of money. It's investing in your guys and plugging and placing one big name into a spot that you really need it, and everything else just kind of hit that second and third wave up where you're at a much better bargain price.
So I think I tweeted last week out one of your stories, and yeah. I got a comment, a response, and that one of the Twitter followers was just like, can we just sign someone with a big name, with some cachet, and not just some bottom of the barrel free agent?
Right.
And I really felt that Twitter follower. I felt their pain. But when I thought about it, I was like, well, Cordy Glenn is not bottom of the barrel. He's a pretty
$10 million.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah, Preston Brown, I don't think is bottom of the barrel. Yes, is he not? Is
he
not the top 10? He got hurt, right? And he's not on the top end. But I think, to your point, that the Bengals get those mid-level guys in free agency plus a big piece or two, and they've demonstrated that.
Last year, I do think that we're seeing the trend. And I think, I've talked a lot about how Zach Taylor is very much in line with the way this franchise has operated. Because people go, oh, is Zach going to come in and he's going to be spent? They're going to be big dealers. Nah, he is on the same lines with the family and Duke Tobin in that, look, draft, develop, and retain is the way to go. The problem is they haven't always retained the right guys. They haven't always spent on the right guys, and that has backfired. Sometimes they've come up short on guys that maybe, the Whitworth thing obviously stands out. Marvin Jones wanted to go be a number one. They didn't even track Mo Sanu, and they paid for it over a couple years until Tyler Boyd became the man. You can look back at the 15 draft and Andrew Whitworth and Tyler Boyd taking a couple years to really get it going is all part of what happened over the last 3 years. There's a lot of people to blame. That's certainly part of it. There's certain areas where they have not been as effective or kept the right guys that people think they should have. But it's the my point of all this is it's not a matter of spending necessarily. I mean, they're spending just, should you have given Drake or Patrick $52.5 million? If that was at the expense of Darqueze Dennard being let go, which we will find out this week, that's a mistake.
Well, I tell my son, and he doesn't understand. My son's 10 months old, doesn't understand what I'm talking about. Well, we got to make good choices. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can't make good choices every single time. And that's just kind of the nature of any business. I'm not trying to necessarily be a complete defender of all the choices that the Bengals have made, but I'm just saying you can't hit every time.
Yeah.
And you can't necessarily predict, you don't have a crystal ball to predict what this player is going to do and what this player is going to do and if this player is going to stay healthy and this player is going to get injured. So, I mean, yeah, you got to make good choices, and that's what you're talking about. Is it not all the choices were necessarily good?
Yeah, and they try to feel like you always have a margin of error here. I mean,
right.
Where you're going to hit 70% of the time, 60% of the time. Over time, it shows the highest percentage of hitting is guys that are familiar with you, with your system, that you've seen play in your area before. There's so many variables in the NFL where you're talking about, you're going from a different locker room with different schemes, different coaches, and your skill set comes in, and all of a sudden you were awesome in New York or in LA or whatever, and you come here and you're not quite the same. This happens every year. You see tons of guys getting cut. How many guys were in the Pro Bowl last year that were signed in free agency last year? 0.0. And so your highest percentage, the best players never even hit free agency because they get long extensions before they ever get to that. That's how it works. You are taking guys that other teams are like, we'll just move another direction. And you're overpaying for that. And it's not that it won't succeed. It's the variance of success. The percentage of success does tend to be lower in free agency rather than signing your own guys. That's just the truth,
right? And that really resonated with me, especially like if the player is on free agency, more than likely, like you're saying, that player was not re-signed by the team because there is a problem there somewhere.
Yeah.
If they wanted him, He wouldn't be a free agent.
They would have right. paid the top of the market for him. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to run down is if you look last year at the teams, or really over the last 4 years, teams that spent the most on other teams' players. So the top six. How many of the top six teams that spent the most on other teams' players over the last 4 years do you think had a winning record over that span?
Six teams, winning record, two?
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. Of
I should have thought zero.
Yeah.
Because normally you throw me softballs.
Yeah, I do. I was trying to lay it out there. You would think, I mean, two's got at least two, right?
Right. I thought they no. two out of six, but you
zero. Zero. And of that group, one conference championship game reached. Out of all that top six, out of the bottom six, for spending, half had winning records. You can even spin it out to the top ten. You've got, let's see, total playoff bursts: 3-2-1-1-2-2-1-3-2. Conference championship, Super Bowl, conference championship, wow. conference championship. These are the teams that spent the yep. fewest. Now. A lot of it is because those teams didn't have holes on their roster. Mm. So they didn't need to go try to find fixes. When you're constantly band-aiding with free agency, it's a cycle of bad, right? It gets worse. I would say your highest percentage chance is to be in the middle there, where you are taking shots at the with the right guy at the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely don't want to be at the top. I think it's kind of, for the most part, certainly not consistently over time, you don't necessarily want to be in that spot. And really, number seven was the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really on there because they have a rookie quarterback contract.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a rookie quarterback contract, you can afford to spend extra for the few years that you right. have that. That's a very specific window
mm-hmm.
where your quarterback's only making $4 or $5 million. You're saving $25 million on the market rate. So you have that money to go spend, and they have. They're using that window to their advantage right now. But not all teams have that. And so you can't have the quarterback and be spending. It's all plays together. It's time to go down the list, though.
Okay, let's do it.
Because people are here for the list. They're not here to hear me spiel about how philosophy. By the way, I do love the idea of you having like deep conversations with your son about life choices at 10 months. Like, how does he look back at you when this happens?
He's like, what does good choices mean?
What? Look back, he's like, I can't even say a single word, much less put together philosophical thoughts.
Hey, we got to start early, man.
I agree.
Got to make those good choices.
Talk about good choices.
Yes. Like when I'm giving him his bottle and he doesn't finish his bottle, that's not a good choice.
You're going to regret this down the road.
That's right.
This really, I could sit here and tell dad stories too. We could change the name of this podcast to My Two Dads when it's just you and me. That was a bad TV show back in the day.
Terrible.
Yeah. And it was in a very different situation. That'd have been you and I raising one kid. I don't think that would work well. All right. Let's run down the list.
Let's do it.
And I'm going to kind of give my thoughts on how this will play out and percentage chance of being back. Now, biggest name to me, I wrote about this today. Walkthrough's back, by the way.
I saw that.
I'm excited. I'm going to do it on Mondays. It gets to be in the off season, man. You can't write every day all as much time as walkthrough takes.
I very much enjoy the walkthrough.
I know. I it takes me 2 to 3 hours because I try to find good stuff and I try to dig deep and make it worthwhile for people
Absolutely.
To go all the way to the end. And so to do those every morning in the off season especially,
right.
It gets to be a lot. But they're really helpful, I think, to kind of set the spot for the mm-hmm. week, get everybody prepared for what's to come. So walkthrough's back. Wrote about Darquez. His free agency is just fascinating to me because basically we're at an area where he has become in the Bengals system a slot corner, and they haven't really given him the chance to play on the outside. You know, in there I had some PFF numbers about how many coverage snaps he's played on the outside versus the inside. It's been a fraction. In the last 3 years, you hardly have even a half a season's worth of Darquez taking any coverage snaps on the outside because he's been a slot corner. He has developed some skill in there. He's really started to show that he understands how that works. He's getting a bit of Leon Hall tendencies of sniffing stuff out before it happened. Leon was the best at that. I've never seen anybody so good at understanding what's happened before it was going to happen in that slot position and making the plays. Darquez is a top five tackler. He is a top five run defender in this league from the cornerback position as a whole. and he's developed. PFF graded him out about a 68 as a slot corner cover guy, which is actually about what Dre is as a cover guy too on the outside. That's not bad. It's not bad, especially when you take the other side of things of what he can bring. Now, so here's the bugaboo, the conundrum.
Let's hear it.
He came out as a press cover corner, outside corner. And his contention is, I can do this. Mm. I've done this. I kick outside all the time, and I've done it fairly well. I should be paid like an outside corner. There's a significant difference between an outside corner and a slot corner for what they get paid. So the Bengals have come to him over the course of last year and this year and said, look, we'll pay you slot money.
Mm.
And we think you're a great slot. We'll pay you at the top of the slot market. We'll offer that to you, you know, 3-4 years, $8.5 million, $8 million, whatever, about what he made last year, which was his, fifth year option, was 1 year at 8.5, which is what he was at last year. Extrapolate. I love to extrapolate. Extrapolate that out. Let's go. Right. I don't blame Darquez for saying, I want to see what the market holds.
Yeah.
Somebody might look at me, knows who I was in college, seen my tape, understands the value of the slot corner and the fact that I can kick outside.
Exactly.
And says, hey, I want outside money. I want to get what Dre got. I want 5 years, 52.5. Right?
Well, absolutely. And I just also think about the continuing changing nature of NFL offenses.
Totally.
In that, you know, you're running multiple receivers. Darquez is physical on the inside, where he can obviously a slot receiver, but also, you know, kind of bump the tight end and maybe even do some stuff with the tight end on the tight end position. And so to have that versatility, when you can necessarily say you have Dre, William Jackson, and Darquez, and you can move them around,
yeah,
and have no hesitancy in putting them, especially Darquez, on the outside if necessary, but keep him on the inside. I mean, that is invaluable. It's immeasurable, the amount of advantage that you have as a defense. Now, to your point, that's what I'm saying. You know, it sounds like, you know, a top end slot money is what, about 4 years, $40 million, $45 million? Is that what I'm gathering?
Look, Tavon Young in Baltimore just got an extension for 3 years, $26.5 million. Okay. You're looking in the nine would be setting the market for a slot corner right now.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a tough. You're talking about a difference of $2 to $3 million per year. Darquez is not gonna. He's not gonna get Dre money. I don't think anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. So to me, if I'm Darquez, I'm careful about this, though, because you don't want to go spend all your time testing the market and waiting for an offer, thinking someone's going to give you more, and all of a sudden the Bengals are like, deuces, we just signed Bryce Callahan or some other slot corner, and we're going a different – or we just paid a linebacker $9 million. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden now it's gone. This happened a couple years ago. It was last year. This happened last year to Russell Bodine,
right?
On a very much smaller scale. The Bengals overvalued Russ. God knows why.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they liked him so much, and wanted to pay him a decent amount.
Yeah.
And he thought he could get more. He didn't know his value, how low it was, and the Bengals overvalued him, and he didn't understand that. Well, all of a sudden, free agency unfolds. Preston Brown walks in the door. They make a deal for Cordy Glenn. They bring Eifert back at a pretty big contract with potential incentives. They sign a couple of their dudes, and money gone.
Right.
And he went back out to the market, and there was none. And he got 1 year and a couple mil in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And he lost himself a ton of money by trying to push and push and say, oh, well, there's going to be another deal. I'm going to go find a deal. And eventually, the money can be gone because the teams at this time of year, this week, they are forced to move in another direction so fast and say, look, no, take it or leave it, because we don't want to lose both of what our options are here.
And I know you mentioned it's not necessarily an apples-to-apples comparison. Obviously, the different positions and the different value. But Quez, I think, has a little bit of leverage here in this situation because of his versatility, because of the value of the slot corner. And his versatility to go outside. But you're right. I think when you have something in your hand, it sounds pretty good, pretty decent from the Bengals. It's hard. It would be a tough decision to say, okay, I'm going to wait it out a little bit, but you don't have that much time. So I'm thinking if I'm a question to you, Paul, is if they offer him, what, 3 years at 28, 29, or 4 years at 35, 36, 37 million, is that a good deal? Is that, you think that's appropriate?
I think if they gave him, if they stretched and gave him nine per and front loaded a bunch of it as they do,
mm-hmm.
I would take it. I understand his desire, but what are we talking about? Like this, and I say this to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about? Here, I understand Darquez's desire to maybe go somewhere where the valuation can be different. He has been evaluated as not worthy of playing over top of Drake or Patrick here, period.
Mm.
He wants to play outside corner. It's not necessarily, I think he wants to get paid like an outside corner in conversations that I've had with him. Sure, who doesn't? But they also want the chance to play outside corner and prove that. So, maybe there's frustration there, and he's willing to go somewhere else where they'll allow him to play outside corner, even if they pay him the same amount he would have gotten with the Bengals, right?
Oh.
Let's say another team hops in, and we'll give you 4 years, 36, but we don't have an outside corner. We think you can be our outside corner and then pop in if you want to play in the slot. Maybe that's the case. There's familiarity here in Cincinnati,
of course. Right.
But they have kind of hosed him every step of the way a little bit. I'm not gonna lie, they never gave him the chance to play on the outside. They made him learn slot.
So you think,
and he's finally learning it, and now they're using. I'm not saying they're using it against him, but right. It's being used against him.
So do you think? Obviously, money is always a factor, of course, but you think that it's the desire to play outside corner is 1A priority and 1B is money, because that's kind of what I'm gathering. I thought it was all about money. I want to play outside corner because those players get more money.
Yeah.
Period. But it sounds like I want to play outside corner because I can do it, and that's what I like to do. That's what I love to do. I want good money, but if the team offers me the opportunity to play outside corner, the money isn't necessarily as critical. Yeah. Is that what I'm gathering from you?
I don't
you?
Think it's as critical. I think it comes with the territory. I think I think his money will be similar.
Okay.
I don't see somebody coming way over the top for Darquez.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the slot market is a lot like the guard market the last couple of years, where it just goes boom because people see the value in it and mm-hmm. it's a starting player and all that stuff. But to me, it's a matter of – I go back to Marvin Jones. It wasn't about the money with Marvin Jones.
He wanted to be number one.
He got a bunch of money, and the Bengals were on the same level as Detroit. But he knew when Calvin Johnson retired that there was a chance to be number one there. He mm-hmm. would never be the number one guy in Cincinnati. He would always be A.J. Green's sidekick, and he wanted that opportunity, and he felt like it has worked out for him. C.J. would be at the top for highest percentage to be back. I think they like what he did. They like his chemistry with Dalton. They like that he will be an easy value. I mean, he's not going to break the bank. He's going to be a totally a value tight end
who
can do a little bit of this. He can do a little bit of that. He does everything well enough. Tight end needs to be a jack of all trades. It doesn't have to be the greatest at one thing or the other. I thought it was interesting. Brian Callahan told us that on the record at the combine. He said literally, you don't need a dynamic tight end, in his opinion, to be a great offense.
So
does it help you? Does it help you be a great offense? Sure, but you need somebody that can do a little bit of everything in that spot. I thought that was really telling when he mentioned that to us.
So two initial thoughts on that. Is that, Paul, do you think that that is kind of, it seemed like for about the last 5 to 10 years in the NFL, which is, I know is an eternity, that a dynamic tight end is a complete and utter game changer for the offense. My question to you is that kind of that new school coming in now, in that, okay, well, now maybe the new philosophy or newer philosophy is maybe you don't have to have that amazing tight end, Gronk, Kelce, whatever, Jimmy Graham in his heyday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, first thought.
I think in some systems, when everyone's out there running three wides, having the fourth guy out there be a dynamic tight end is great. But if you're in three wide, you got a lot of dynamic players on the field. So having two of them, particularly in this offense, I mean, no one ran more three wides last year than the Los Angeles Rams. Okay, so They were in three wides, one tight end all day. So the idea of needing multiple dynamic tight ends, one dynamic tight end, sure. I mean, yeah, it's not like it's a bad thing to have them. Mm-hmm. But when you're prioritizing, and if you're saying we can either pay Tyler Eifert or we can go a little extra and assure we keep Darquez and sign a decent linebacker, I know where my priority would be on mm-hmm. that. I would sign CJ, and I would go to the draft in, you know, the third or fourth deep round, tight end class, right. and it's a deep tight end class, and bring in that guy. And so you'd have CJ, a rookie, Mason Schreck, and, you know, whoever else, probably another rookie, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can make do with that according to what we've kind of been told about what this system will be. I found that interesting. But if you and Tyler Eifert sit across the table and say, look, same thing as last year, knock a couple mil off because it's another year you're hurt, you're another year older, let's do this, let's go back in it again, we want you to have that year here, and so we can have that year here. It depends on what else is on the table for him.
Mm-hmm.
if somebody else says no, we'll go over the top of that, then he probably
right.
goes.
I mean, yeah.
And I'm sure he goes. But I do think there's some loyalty to here mm-hmm. over everything that's happened and a feeling of unfinished business. So it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. Mm-hmm. Let's keep going down the line so we don't miss out on the other stuff we want to get to.
Cool.
Preston Brown, who signed a one-year deal last year at $5 million. I don't mind bringing Preston Brown back. But he better not be your three down linebacker.
Okay, all right. Because when you said that, I made a face at you.
No,
and then you qualified it. So.
Yeah, I don't. He better be. He's a third wave, second third wave bargain. Another 1 year deal, $3 million, $4 million, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's here as he's your new Vinny Ray,
mm-hmm.
right? So he's your number one backup that you have behind whatever else you've used to fix this. Number four. Or number three is fine, where he's out there in base.
Right.
I got no problem with him as a middle linebacker in base, but I don't want him out there nickel situations trying to cover. It's not
all right.
You know, it's unfortunate. He wants to play here. He loves Cincinnati. He loves the idea of playing here. He never really got a chance to do it last year. Played in seven games, only for about a series and a half was he truly healthy. He got hurt in the opener.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he would like a redo on that.
And from that series, what, you said a game and a half or a series and a half?
The series and a half. It was the opener, yeah.
Yeah. And that opener, you got in.
He had an interception right away, first series, yeah.
Yeah, and he had some – you played well. But, I mean, the sample was so small that it's hard to kind of judge.
It's hard to judge what he was last year. I mean, you go by what he was his first 4 years in the mm-hmm. league. He was a solid linebacker who at the time was very durable because mm-hmm. he played almost every snap, and a solid linebacker who you don't mind being in there on running situations. Big mm-hmm. body, old school, not new school. Not the new school, you know, 6 foot, 230, mm-hmm. sideline to sideline ranger.
No.
He's 250.
Right.
250 plus big body banger. So, you know, you don't want to be Ray Maluga in a Rokon Smith world. You know what I mean? It's nothing to beat. So to me, we'll see what happens there. An interesting name that always gets people talking and has had people talking is Bobby Hart. Look, it wasn't great. It wasn't great. Here's the thing. They have no right. They have no tackles. They have Cordy Glenn and nobody else right now.
I just want to stop you for just a second. We're moving on from linebackers?
Yeah, I'm done. Okay. With Preston.
With Preston, okay.
With Preston. We'll get a little bit into the actual free agent linebackers
in a minute. Because linebacker is a problem.
It is.
Okay.
You weren't here. Last week, we spent a lot of time.
Okay.
We've been writing series. All right. Like, we're all in on linebackers.
We can move on to the offensive line.
Yeah, I just wanted to go in offensive line a little bit. Bobby Hart, Bengals fans, they're gritting their teeth right now. Mm. They're like, oh, Paul, don't do this to me. don't do this. I don't want Bobby Hart back. Right? That's what they're saying.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I have found comments from inside the Bengals organization interesting about Bobby Hart. They have a different evaluation of how he played than I do. We heard Jim Turner use the actual word phenomenal. I don't think That is a word that should have been used about Bobby Hart. I have heard inside that they think he played good. Not great. Good. The thing about this is they don't have any tackles, so somebody would have to be a backup swing tackle. To me, Bobby Hart is a backup swing tackle who could – someone gets hurt, he can step in and play a little bit for you. He's not your starting tackle, not if your offense is any good, certainly not if you're running Zach Taylor's play-action-run offense situation. So do you need a Bobby Hart on your team? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You also need a starter. You better not be signing Bobby Hart to be the starter, and Bobby Hart better know that when you sign him, or else he might go off the reservation like mm-hmm. sort of happened in New York.
Right.
When he wasn't playing, and it turned into a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very careful about that. I'm just cutting ties personally, but there is a bit of a momentum inside of the organization of what Bobby Hart could be for them.
What does the draft class of the offense at the tackle position?
Solid. It hits the Bengals just right. In the first round in particular, there's about four guys that you would have no problem taking at 11 that would start day one.
Okay, because
they'll be there. Someone will be there.
As Jim would say, Jim Ozarski would say, draft a starter.
Yeah. That's it. Well, I don't think there's any doubt at 11 they will be drafting a starter.
And they did, you know, last year with Billy Price. He was a starter, and I think, you know, you're going to, you know, the old cliche, it all starts with the offensive line. The offensive line is really important, especially, you know, with Zach Taylor's offense. It's critical to have offensive linemen that can do what needs to be done. And if you want to draft another starter on the offensive line, I think people will be okay with that. And I think it's needed.
The problem is you've got these two holes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have linebacker and you have your offensive line,
mm-hmm.
and both of them need filled.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it'll be easier to speculate what number 11 would be,
mm-hmm.
or if they would even stay there after free agency when we find out if they are able to sign a linebacker. Because I don't see them signing a tackle in free agency. I think it will be overpayment for guys that aren't worth it. And the only guy that even clicks at all for me is Juwan James from Miami, strictly because there is a connection there with all the Miami stuff,
right.
With Zach Taylor and everybody that he was there at the beginning of that. So maybe they liked him then. We'll see. All right, tenders were offered on Friday. Trey Hopkins, the most notable, Alex Redmond, Brandon Wilson, Tony McCray, Josh Tupo, all exclusive rights tenders were made, which just means they'll be back next year on a, you know, that they'll be back with the Bengals on a low deal. The most interesting one was a second round tender was given to Trey Hopkins, which he will get. He has a 1 year tender at $3.095 million. That's a second round level. So they looked at him. He was undrafted. So with a tender, he can negotiate with another team. If another team signs him away and the Bengals don't match that, the Bengals would get a second round pick. So that essentially means Trey Hopkins will be back. They didn't want to take a chance because they would have gotten if they did a $2 million tender, which is your original round.
Mm-hmm.
For him, he's undrafted. Yeah. They would have gotten no compensation. He would have been much easier to sign away.
And Trey Hopkins should be back.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I mean, I think it was probably I was a little bit like, oh, $3 million for Trey Hopkins. But mm-hmm. when you think about it, back up at center, back up at both guard
played
spots,
well at center,
super versatile. And you know who knows what if Billy Price doesn't take a step?
Yeah,
maybe at some point you're putting Trey Hopkins in.
Saying, he played well at center. I mean,
So I don't mind that, and yeah. I don't mind that at all. Mm-hmm. I think versatile depth pieces are valuable,
mm-hmm.
and should be paid. So I didn't mind that. I want to dive into the Mark Duffner hire that happened last week. So this is the end of the week. It was official. It's kind of been out there for a while, but it kind of became official. So last year in Tampa Bay, they whacked Mike Smith in the DC. He leaves. Mark Duffner, who'd been the linebackers coach for a couple of years, takes over. Tampa Bay's defense improved, and Duffner has been a respected coach in this league for a long time. I mean, for over two decades, he's been at least a linebackers coach and a defensive coordinator a couple of times. He was at the Bengals from 97 to 02, and he was actually in line to be taken over instead of Dick LeBeau at one point. So experienced veteran coach. He's 11 years older than anybody else on staff. So a staff that averages 37 years.
So what is he,
like 40? He's 65. Yeah, I know, right? Doesn't it feel like that? I mean, he's a veteran of the league. You could have made a good argument that Mark Duffner would have been a decent DC hire instead of Lou Anarumo. So now you have Anarumo and you have this guy out to help him with a little bit more experience, been a DC before, been around the league. You know, I mean, Lou's been around too, but he's never really been a DC before. I think I thought that was a really under the radar savvy.
Shrewd.
Yeah, a savvy little hire. Mm-hmm. I think it's a nice little fit. I think it can be very helpful to your staff and to your linebackers, right? We're right. really worried about this linebacker room. Mm-hmm. How the hell are they going to fix this? This is the key, right? They have got to get that room fixed. Well, Mark Duffner, with a specialty in linebackers for a number of years, comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can he bring Quan Alexander with him? Because that would help things. And that's kind of an interesting element of you're always looking for ties for guys. Like that helps with these guys to sign. Quan Alexander, free agent, played the majority of his career under Mark Duffner. I think Bengals fans would be okay with that.
Absolutely.
The problem is this market is setting a little bit.
Setting.
Yeah. I think we're starting to see what this time, when you get into Monday, Tuesday of this week, market always, agents are putting it out there, boy.
Right.
Hot and heavy for my guy.
Of course.
I got teams, bidding wars, we need 12 mil. Right? Everybody's like that right now. And then all of a sudden Thursday comes like, give me 8. Right? it's like every negotiation. It ends in somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. But Denzel Perryman is a linebacker for the Los Angeles Chargers. Big time injury history. When he's played well, but big time, he's Eifert-ish.
Mm.
He hasn't played a ton, but when he's played, has been pretty good. He was kind of a middle of the free agent linebacker market guy. He re-signs for 2 years, $12 million, so $6 million per. That's a decent mark for a middle-of-the-road guy with an injury history, okay? So Quan Alexander reports out about his agent saying, I want $11 to $12 million per year. That would be the second highest inside linebacker contract in football behind only Luke Kuechly. I ain't feeling that.
Yeah,
Is CJ Mosley going to get Kuechly money? You've got a gap between about 13 and 10 between Kuechly and everybody else as far as that inside linebacker type position. And, I mean, if people are going to come out there and be crossing the 10 mark consistently, I had a source told me they viewed Mosley in the 10 to 11 range, Jordan Hicks about $1 million less than that, KJ Wright about $1 million less than that as where you should look at that. Now, I think the Bengals will inevitably end up spending somewhere between, I'd say almost $30 million probably.
If they want to fix it.
No, I mean as a whole in all of free agency.
In all free agency.
That includes their own guys.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion.
For
this year alone.
For this year.
Right. That's not.
That's what I was. Okay.
For this year.
Okay.
They've got about 50, but I think when the perfect cut hits, they'll save a little bit more and spend a little bit more whenever that happens, which I'll get to that later. So I look at it and say, man, if you're looking at having to spend $10 to $12 million on a linebacker, that's a big chunk. I don't think that they would be willing to cross into that range. I think that they would be looking for someone in the Perryman range, in the 6, 7, 8, in my opinion, where you would be even willing to go to.
Right. When you threw out, you know, those early numbers about Quan Alexander, you know, and C.J. Mosley at, you know, 10, 11, Bengals aren't going to do that.
I don't think so. No.
But they got to fix it. And if free agency is the road to fixing it, you're going to want to get a professional, good linebacker to help. And I think it's going to cost, you know, like just based on what I'm learning, you know, $7-8 million.
You know, yeah, I think that they need, you know, whether whether it is Kwon Alexander is getting that kind of money, that will be nuts. Yeah. But maybe that's where it's because you do have a weak linebacker draft and it drives right up the linebacker market.
Supply and demand.
Supply and demand. And that's so you've got, I mean, there are a lot of them. So maybe they wait and see who's still around at the second wave and hit a guy at a regular price. But, you know, Jordan Hicks, if this is the type of numbers we're talking about, that looks less and less likely as even an option to come back home. So we'll see who that is. Who is left? Because, you know, there's a bunch of dudes that it could be. Who is that? Is it KJ Wright? I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, so that's kind of the look at where that's settling. That'll be for the Bengals this week. That is the most interesting thing. Do they sign a linebacker? What happens there? Quez, the linebacker situation. The rest of it, I could give or take. They screw up both of those, the season's over. Well, if you leave a hole,
all right,
because there's nowhere else to go after this. Mm-hmm. If you lose Quez or if you have a problem with linebacker, like you are dependent on the draft and you only have so many picks. Mm-hmm. And you have holes that are fatal flaws if those go wrong. You know, fix one of the two and the other one gets fixed in the draft or whatever, and you still have the offensive line thing out there. I only have so many fingers, and the water keeps coming out of this boat.
Well, as Costanza say, I got a lot of work to do.
I got a lot of work to do. That's it. So a big week, as always. Can we talk about 50 West real quick?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Makers of delicious beer.
I always talk about beer.
So we have our beer bracket going.
Oh, that's right.
We have the beer bracket where they're trotting out the bracket of the best beers in Cincinnati. A beer off.
There was a tie.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I mean, Elite Nine, I didn't.
We've got to have a tiebreaker format, right?
Right.
How do you mean the Elite Nine? Right. How does that work? We need a tiebreaker format. How you got to break ties somehow? Throw a dart. I don't care. Penalty kicks. Something. Drink off. Ask one beer connoisseur to break the tie.
Yeah. You need some credibility there.
But as you might imagine, 50 West had multiple beers in the bracket. They have their Punch You in the IPA is still alive in the Elite Nine, as it would be. Punch You in the IPA, man. I'm telling you, this stuff is good, but you got to be careful with that. It is. It will punch you in the IPA.
Got to be careful with that.
Got to be careful. That's when we get this. Now, when we get the good booth and the good equipment, you can do quality whispers.
That's right.
Got to be careful with that. yeah, but it's so delicious. You know, you just absolutely got to have some. If you don't have time, get down there to the Pro Works. It's kicking up. It's season down there, so it's going to be sand volleyball going on. Of course, once it gets warm enough, they got running groups that they do. Bobby's going to be running the marathon this year, so
Bobby.
He's out there running with the running groups. So much good stuff, and of course their food. Whether you're at the Pro Works or you're over across the street at their restaurant brew house spot, man, so much good stuff. Get down there, 50 West, check them out. Drink some good beer, eat some good food. I don't know how many times I got to stand on the table for these dudes. Like, it's delicious. All right. And they better make it to the Final Four. Punch You in the IPA better be the Final Four. People be making mistakes.
The food is really good.
Beer. I'm mad that Coast to Coast isn't still alive. Like, what? How is Coast to Coast? Dude, my bracket, that's a one seed. That's a one seed. That's Duke with all their guys healthy. Coast to Coast, cruising to the Final Four. All right. People got questions, Cream.
Let's do it.
All right, I got a couple questions to get to. First one, we kind of got into this last week when I talked all over the map about Josh Rosen.
No.
But I love it when Liquored Up Kevin sends me questions.
Oh.
You know, contrary to his name, his questions are usually pretty good and rational.
That's because he's liquored up.
He's like, that's when you start thinking straight. That's right. He brought up the idea, what about John Ross for Josh Rosen?
Oh.
We're getting wild now.
Yeah.
You know what? That question just hit me just right. Two guys that were top picks, top 10 picks, that both need changes of scenery,
mm-hmm.
and both could have value to another team. I just I might.
I'm thinking, obviously we're recording the podcast, so I got to have, you know, a thought quick here. I'm thinking about it.
You don't have to have a thought quick.
I think it'd
be a stunner. It'd be a stunner.
My initial feeling would be like the receiving team, whoever got John Ross, would be, you know, get more out of the deal. I don't know. That's just my feeling.
Maybe. But if you're looking down the road at potential, you need people. You need a backup this year.
Mm-hmm.
B, you need to be thinking about the future. And if you don't feel like any of these dudes that are the second wave of quarterbacks this year are worth it, or, you know, you don't think you see it here in this draft, and you did like Rosen coming out, maybe you even had a 2A grade on him. Maybe you had him a top of the second round grade.
Okay, all right.
He at the very least solves you a temporary problem, and maybe your QB gurus that you've got, your Zach Taylor, Brian Callahan, Alex Van Pelt, can get in here, work with them, and you see some stuff. And if it doesn't work, cut him.
Right.
Trade him again.
I mean, immediate short term, you need a backup.
Maybe you can develop him and see, hey, this guy can take over for Andy Dalton.
I think initially, short term, right. Taking over for Andy Dalton, that's a project.
It's important. The time is now.
The urgency is now, right? I just think that's with that specific player with Rosen, I think it's a big project.
Because it's funny, you know, all the talk that we've had about, who are the Bengals going to extend? Because that's this time of year that conversation comes up. AJ Green is up. Tyler Boyd is up. Everyone's talking, and I've heard lots of conversations about how much you pay them, how much would you pay AJ and the other these guys that were in contract years. The name that I don't hear is Andy Dalton.
Right.
They're not, you know, there are not conversations that I know of. And maybe that would be something they would keep close to the vest, certainly. Let's just say, it's certainly not impossible that they're having those conversations behind closed doors have closed doors behind that. He signed to 2020, so
right. They
wouldn't have to do it right now. I mean, it makes most sense to do next year, but I have not heard any talk about that, and nor do I know that there is money to pay him market value sitting around. So, you know, clearly, in my opinion, unless they're just doing all kinds of super secret, double secret stuff, that's something that they would need to see this season and see where they're at. But they need to be thinking about the future right now. Goes into that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel like it's easier, it's certainly easier to find a number three receiver somewhere than it is to find a quarterback of the future. Even if it's just taking a, you know, rolling the dice on somebody. All depends on what their evaluation of Rosen was coming out, which we don't 100% know. I know he was; they did not have him as their top quarterback. I know that for a fact. But I don't think anybody, very few, had Rosen over top of Mayfield and Darnold.
Right.
So.
Right.
One more question, and it's like I can't. Kareem.
Tell me. Tell me what's on your
you're
mind,
like,
man.
You're like my therapist right now.
Right.
I'm on the couch. And I'm just trying to talk through this crap. I can't get through a day without talking about Vontaze Burfict.
Still.
Well, he's still here.
I know.
And that's the question.
That's what I meant. I'm like, still, we're still on, because he's still here.
My question from my man Jeremy Deal says, why hasn't Burfict been cut yet? You know, they always give guys courtesy to latch on with other teams. Yes and no. I will point to Mr. Iloka, George last year, who did not get that courtesy.
No.
They could have cut him this time last year. They pretty much knew what they were going to do, but they wanted to make sure that Jesse Bates would be the guy before they let George Iloka go. And so they held on to George, and they cut him last second. He had to hop on in Minnesota. You know, he couldn't even find a place to start because everybody's set. So they don't always do that courtesy. They're going to do what's best for them. Why has he not been cut yet? To me, there's no monetary difference for them to cut him today or even in August, right? Until those checks start coming, until you get to the season and you start owing him money. To me, the deadline is April 9th. I don't want that dude here when the players report day one. Players report April 9th for the offseason program. I don't want that dude here April 9th. To me, that's the deadline. If that's the decision, that's their decision to make. Do they want to see if he can blend in? Do they want to see if you know, their new coaching staff can get something out of Vontaze Burfict. If they want to go down that road, if they want to see how much he weighs, if the new coaching staff can get something out of him, and maybe he'll turn it around and whatever, if that's what they want, then we'll find out if he's here April 9th.
Tez is 29.
Getting older, yeah.
28, right? Something like that.
I think so, yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, to answer the question, why is he still on the roster? Why has he not been cut yet? To me, it sounds like they're going to try to go with that option of trying to see what Tez can do.
I just think he's bad. It's time. Everybody's culture change means time to move on.
Right, and that's why I asked about his age, because he is what he is at this point.
And last year he was bad.
Right.
On the field.
On the field.
Which is the problem.
Right. Yeah. And so when we're talking about on the field only, he cannot produce like they need him to.
Yeah.
In that position. So it sounds to me like the reason he's still on the roster is because they're going to, I mean, in my opinion at least, try to see what he can bring to the table. But new coach, new culture change, new day.
New day, hashtag new day.
Right?
Yeah.
Got to cut him.
Yeah, no, we're in agreement on that.
Right.
I've ranted on that many times here.
I know.
The point is, if people are wondering mm-hmm. why isn't he cut yet, really the deadline is April 9th. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. is when they will have to make a call of whether they want this guy in their new building or not. Because until then, there's really no difference. You cut him today, you cut him April 8th, it's all the same. He never steps foot in the building. He's never part of the new culture, mm-hmm. right? Whether you do that today or then, and if it's about courtesy for him, well, I don't know, man. I'm that stuff's overrated. He hasn't shown them a ton of courtesy in getting suspended a bunch, and I'm sure whatever. I mean, that's fine. This time of year, there's plenty of time. If he gets cut April 8th, there's plenty of time for him to go find a team to mm-hmm. go. Let's be honest, end up in Oakland mm-hmm. for Paul G.
Paul G.
We know. There's only one guy in this league that would probably be willing to take on Vontaze Burfict, and it's him. If he can convince John Gruden to do it. Look, they wanted him. I think they definitely wanted him last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Bengals probably should have pulled that deal. But that's neither here nor there. All right, that's the questions. We pretty much...
Just the two?
Yeah, just the two. All Unless right, you got another cool. one that All you right. got that you want
to... Nobody talks to me.
You know, people talk to you. That one guy did.
I'm just joking. I don't get as many questions as you. Yeah. Let's just say that.
I saw. I will. I'll bring up a great tweet that somebody sent out this morning. It was as we start free agency. Don't forget rule number one. Your favorite team is capable of doing something incredibly stupid. It happens every year. People spend a lot of money and just blow the money on some dumb stuff.
All right.
It happens all the time. Every single
It's a good
year.
Reminder.
It's a good reminder.
Especially sometimes, with all the excitement.
Sometimes not paying Andrew Whitworth is incredibly stupid.
All right.
Sometimes paying Andrew Whitworth is incredibly stupid. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We see in the end how it all turns out.
Mm-hmm.
But just remember, the season could be over after this week. I think that's our takeaway.
There's two holes.
Two big
holes.
Two big holes. Right. Possibly more than that.
You mess them both up.
Three technically. Quez is out there.
All right.
So Quez is current. The slot corner is currently a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Linebacker hole.
Offensive line.
Right tackle.
Okay. Right.
Hole.
Right. If you mess them up,
it's over.
It's over.
Season's over.
2020.
Season's over. Move it on. Might as well trade everybody. Start rebuilding.
That's the main takeaway.
That's the main takeaway from today.
From our conversation.
Kareem.
Yes.
Everything sounds good.
It sounds great. Again, big credit to Phil. Big credit to Phil.
Phil doing his thing. Yeah. Phil's not going to be here looking over your shoulder next week.
No, but he was, I feel confident now producing the show and understanding all the audio. Audio's tough. You know, there's a lot of things that can go wrong.
You're telling me.
Right.
A man who's been trying to do with my little, my crazy mobile setup the last 5 years.
Right.
And every once in a while, I get people be like, man, you are all over the map audio-wise. I'm like, I'm trying.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I got this setup. But now everything's all good because we're here in the booth sound. People kept commenting how good the TSC sounded. I was like, you know what? We got to do it.
We got to do it. That's
we got to do it. So we're going to try to stay regular
because
that's important. Structure is important.
Hey, you know I like structure.
My man Kareem is the king of structure.
That's why I sent you a text this morning about, you know, asking for another 30 minutes at like 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Hey, because you knew in the world of my two dads, I'm up. Yeah. I'm more than up. I've been up.
All right.
So thanks to Phil for helping us get this started. I'm excited how hopefully the BVP sounds great for you guys going forward. Kareem.
Good to be back, man.
You're going
to
be back next week. I hope you're ready.
Yeah.
Potential need for an emergency BVP later in the week if they kill the season this week.
I'm down, man.
or if they fix the season.
Now we can just pop in here now that I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So we'll do that. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the BBP. Remind you, drink 50 West. If things go poorly, punch you in the IPA. If they go good, you don't need one that potent. So anyway, keep drinking 50 West. Keep listening to the BBP, and all will go well with you. I'll talk to you next week.